خب دوستان عزیز، خوشحالم به عرضتون رسیدم که ناظرین رو اینجا داریم، آقای جان کبوتک، که ایشون سالهاست که من اسمشون رو میشنیدم، دیده بودمشون. چند هفته پیش با هم صحبت داشتیم و در زمینه کارهای کامیونیتی، در زمینه فعالیت‌های کلی بسیار بسیار اکتیو هستن و خوشحالم که به عرضتون رسیدم که امروز اینجا هستند. میخواستم ضمن سلام ازشون خواهش کنم که خودشون در مورد خودشون یه ذره صحبت بکنن که اصلا داستان چیه، چیکار میکنن، چیکار نمیکنن، که ما باهاشون بیشتر آشنا بشیم. I just mentioned to our listeners that we are so proud that you are here and we are so happy that you are here. And I just mentioned that we had a long discussion about, I think it was not too long ago, maybe 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we don't break our friendship over a couple of weeks here and there, you know.
Absolutely.
And, great asset to the community, very active in different area. And I want you to just tell us about yourself, what you do, what your experience, what you are doing now, and get our listeners more familiar with you and your activities.
Wonderful. Well, Mo, first of all, thank you. It is so wonderful to be here with you and in the studio and a chance to speak to your wonderful listeners. It's so important because so many of your listeners and so many here in California have come to achieve the California dream. And that is what the essence is, I think, of life, right, is making sure you can achieve everything you believe in, and for our families and for ourselves. And so, yes, my name is John Kabatek. I'm thrilled to be, over about the past 13 or 14 years, the California State Director of the National Federation of Independent Business, which is really great. We are a national organization of about 350,000 small business owners. Here in California alone, we represent about 14,000 small business owners and entrepreneurs. And we were founded in California in 1943. A gentleman who was a member of the United States Chamber of Commerce said, you know, we need an organization that speaks strictly to the mom and pops, to the small business owners. I know you're one, Mo, very much. You work with so many. And it's so important, be they from Iran, from Mexico, from around the world, or just people who are here, you know, that they have a chance to achieve their dream. So it has expanded to, we have a presence in every single state capital and in Washington, D.C., and our goal is just to make sure that we give a voice to those small business owners at the state and federal level, that they really need it. I think at this time, they really need that. So I've been very proud to do that. I also wear the hat as the president of Kabatek Strategies. We are a California-based, Sacramento-based firm, and our focus, Mo, is quite strictly to make sure that we're giving a voice to those less heard. So we build coalitions around legislation. We build coalitions around ballot measures, but we also make sure that those voices are heard in city council, at the state legislature, in the media, very similar to what you do, you know, that's why we ended up having such a great meal together, some good time. I love to eat. And then finally, I'm so proud, I'm actually half Armenian, and so I think there's a lot of connection between the journeys our families have made here to the United States, sometimes through adversity. And I think most importantly, again, coming back to what we mutually share, and that's giving people a chance to believe and pursue what they're believing in.
I'm so great to hear that and appreciate your time, because I know you're very busy. You have a busy schedule. An organization with 350,000 small business. How do you do that? Really, it's very, very big job. I cannot even imagine.
Well, you know, fortunately we have a great team, as you know, and I'm sitting here in studio with some of your team, with Nikki and others. You know, you have a wonderful team, and you are only as successful as the people by whom you're surrounded, right? And so I'm very fortunate to have a good staff here in California. Also, Mo, I'm very fortunate just to have California as the focus. We have great state directors in every other of the 49 states, and then a great team in Washington, D.C., working on certainly federal issues. But, you know, I think what our goal is, at the end of the day, what drives me the most is the fact that our members have such wonderful stories. I think it's their resilience, their bravery, their courage, be it through, you know, coming out of COVID, coming through these difficult economic times. We see things that people are facing as struggling small business owners, especially here in California. And that's what sustains me. I think that's what sustains us. You know, we can have the craziest, worst, most grueling day, But I think as working in this in our job, but when you think about what small business owners do every day to open their door, turn on the lights, keep people employed, struggling with their finances, it sustains us and it gives us some great hope to work hard for them.
Dealing with at least 14,000 businesses in California,
yeah.
What is the main concern that you think they should be worried about at DC, or what is the main point that they should concentrate on that?
Yeah, well, right now, I think what we do a couple things. One of the wonderful things about the National Federation of Independent Business is that we ask our members, Mo, what's important to them. We don't have a board of directors, that five or six that go into a room and decide what's important. We send out regular monthly surveys to our members and then issue-based ones on a regular basis. And some of the issues that they've told us that are very important to them, actually for about the past 37 or 38 years, the number one issue still facing small business owners is the high cost of health insurance. That is still surprisingly, even in the wake of Obamacare and some of these other health care reforms, I think what we have found is small business owners are still paying a high level of health insurance and costs on products. So that's a big issue we hear. I think the high cost of energy is a big issue, and electricity still, I think that's the number two issue, second to healthcare, or it's certainly up there. And then I think in addition to that, one thing that we're hearing from small business owners right now is still the very big challenge, especially here in California, of filling unfilled positions in their small businesses. It's still finding qualified, experienced, and interested workers that are willing to fill those seats. And they're high-paying jobs. I have some people around the state, one lady in Orange County who said, I've got a job that's just an entry-level designer for homes that doesn't take a lot of experience. I'm willing to pay them well over $100,000. We have truck-driving jobs around the state that people are looking to fill. And just finding those skilled workers who want to do it will take a little time to get some experience. But those are probably some of the big ones, cost of health insurance, cost of energy and electricity. And then I think with employers, just trying to get people to walk through the door to fill those seats and positions. So it's a couple big things we're hearing right now.
As you know, we always hear on the news that there are companies that they are leaving California because of the regulation.
Yeah.
I know those are not small businesses, but it affects the whole economy. What is your take on that?
Well, I think we have got to hold our policymakers accountable better. You know, I think there is still a lot of talk among policymakers who campaign to say small businesses are the backbone of the economy. I joke that, you know, many policymakers say that small businesses are the backbone of the economy, and then very few of them show the backbone and the courage to help them. So I think when it comes to those businesses that are leaving California, you're right. Frankly, many of those that are leaving are the larger scale businesses. You know, I think Phillips 66, the oil company, is leaving California because of the high regulations. We've seen other businesses here in California make an exodus, technology and other businesses that are leaving California for a more affordable way to operate. But, you know, and I think the challenge with small businesses, more would choose to leave if they could. But, you know, first of all, many of them think of their expanded small business families. That's the beauty of small business. They think of that front desk receptionist or that person who's a line chef as their family. And so they don't want to disrupt their families, and they have a commitment to stay. But I think many of them also, unlike the big businesses and corporations, they don't have a relocation division. They don't have a teams and finances and resources to just uproot and go relocate. So they're kind of landlocked. And so it's a combination. I think that they have no choice financially to be able than other to stay here. But I think morally and ethically, they look at their extended family and their small business, and they feel a commitment, an obligation, and an investment in them. So it's kind of what we see right now. I think more would leave if they could, but those are two things that I think kind of weigh them down ethically and administratively and financially.
And since you are dealing with the small businesses, are you guys doing some follow-up with the lawmakers to do some changes? Or if there's any changes, what do you expect to be you think are going to be changed in the near future?
Yeah, well, so we're talking right now in just the beginning of March 2025, and the legislature has in California, in Sacramento, has just kind of gotten started. And well, I think they reconvened in January, the first of a 2-year session. It's going to be 2 years that they kind of meet over this session. They've introduced well over 2,200 bills. This is the first year the legislature, fortunately, has now a limit on how many bills they can introduce. First time, Mo.
Oh.
Thank God, right?
How many is that?
Though they can each introduce now 35 and no more than 35. Some people would say, what? 35 bills is still too much per legislator. But I think
per year?
Per year. Per legislative session. So, yeah. So this is a good thing because I think we just have too much time on the hands of policymakers to create too much trouble. And I think we need to find the problem in search of a solution. And unfortunately, I think all too often leaders are doing the opposite. So we're making sure we're holding the policymakers accountable to introducing bills that matter, that are going to keep small businesses moving forward, helping people. And the things that we're urging them this year is, you know, hold the line on taxes, you know, that there is no need to increase taxes on small businesses that are already struggling. There's better ways to manage government. I think as we're finding in a lot of the news, whether you're Republican or Democrat, there's a lot of waste in government. So we need to clean up the waste. But I think in addition to that, we need to streamline regulations. I'm sure, Mo, you talk to people quite often, and people deal with so many regulations, be it labor regulations or environmental regulations, and there's a place for them, right? I think we find that when there are no regulations, a community can be devastated, like an earthquake or a fire. You need certain things. But I think our leaders are still overly regulated, and so we're working on that. And then the last one is frivolous lawsuits. I think there are still a number of attorneys out there who are not about justice, Mo. They're about enriching their wallets, right? Putting more money in their pocket. Hey, I love an entrepreneurial spirit, but when it's at the expense of other small business owners, well, you're shaking them down for Americans with Disability Act violations that are frivolous or other frivolous lawsuit shakedowns. That's a problem, though. So I think if we were looking at it, small business owners, unlike big business, listen to this. They pay 3 times more to comply with taxes than big corporations. They pay about 67% more to comply with regulation costs than big corporations. And then small businesses on the lawsuit side, they are the usual targets of these shakedown lawyers because they, unlike a bigger business, right, they don't have a big legal team. They don't have the big giant administrative teams to defend themselves. So they're a much easier victim from these vultures. So that's what we also make sure policymakers remember. It's like keep small businesses moving and your public services continue to thrive.
شنگان عزیز با آقای جان کبوتک صحبت میکنم. از اون که یک بریک کوتاه بگیریم برگردیم و در ادامه برنامه در خدمتتون باشه. در رنج و عذابم بی تو من خرابم، در رنج و عذابم
زنجیر عشق ندارم چاره ای جز عشق و مستی خراب
بعضی با آقای جان کبوتک صحبت میکنیم و دلم میخواست که در مورد ایشون رو ازشون سوال بکنیم که این اتفاقاتی که داره صحبتش میاد در مورد چین و کانادا و مکزیک چه افکتی روی زندگی روزمره مردم احتمالا خواهد داشت. جان، thank you very much. I was wondering, we all hear on the news and the tariff and the economic war, some people call it, between Canada, United States, Canada and United States and Mexico, United States and China, and we are saying something, they are saying something, and we don't know what's going on. We don't know what will going to happen because they extend for automobile, they extend for another month.
Right.
What do you think the consumer should be worried about or concerned about? Do we going to face some price increase when we go shopping, or what is your take on that?
Well, that's a really good question. I think, and again, I think the one word that we keep hearing from most small business owners these days, Mo, is affordability. You know, the one thing that we are actually hearing from policymakers on the Democrat and Republican side here, and I know also in Washington, is how do we make things more affordable? How is it that eggs are now $25 per dozen? That is insane, and that is wrong. So as we're looking at it, I think what one of the things the NFIB is really, really working diligently to is making sure that we can make things more affordable for small business owners who can then make things more affordable for their employees, give more jobs, and then obviously their customers that walk through the door, because affordability is a problem. And so when we talk about tariffs, you know, it's a tricky issue, I'll tell you, to say the very least. We have talked to farmers, restaurateurs, retailers, and others who around the state and nation who are on edge. Now, in fairness, a couple things. We are a nonpartisan organization, NFIB is. We ballot our members. We ask them what's on their mind. And I think what we are finding is that the we do something that we every month call the Economic Trends Report. It's a small business economic trends report each month. Where are small business owners at? And what we found in the most recent one this past month is that small business owners made it clear the small business hope for the economy and economic conditions to improve over the next 6 months has actually declined by about 5%, 5 points. So it's telling us small business owners' hope for economic certainty is declining. And I think when we talk about tariffs, Mo, this is a concern. I mean, I think on the one hand, we can appreciate the president. You know, we heard his address the other night, and he was saying, look, it's about time that we push back on other countries that have been imposing significant tariffs on us and have made it very difficult. But a trade war is tricky because I think when you start talking about China and Canada and Mexico and you start pushing back with equal or even greater tariffs – to try and push back on the bully, you got to be very concerned because that who's going to be the ultimate recipient of that fallout. And I think so right now what we're finding is there's a lot of people right now on edge. I think the president made it clear that, you know, we need to kind of watch and wait and see what that's going to feel about. Each of us is going to feel a little bit of pain. But when we're talking to the mom and pops on Main Street, they've been feeling a lot of pain. They're feeling that pinch already. Like, right? We're still talking to people who are still trying to climb out of the hole from COVID, from the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're still trying to get customers through the door now. So when we talk about the cost of these goods going up, automobiles and products and food and farm goods, that's making it difficult for small businesses to kind of think, do I kind of decide to close up shop? Do I have to lay off those people that we were talking about that are your extended family in the small business to cut back on administrative costs? And it's putting small businesses in a very difficult spot. I can appreciate the president wanting to kind of show the muscle to the world with America and his pride in that, but at what cost? So we look at affordability and you know, for a few steps gained as we're trying to trim waste in government with the DOGE process, which is great. I think it's great. We're looking at all this absurd waste and maybe even returning some dollars back to Americans, which he and Elon Musk have talked about. The concern I guess any of us would have is does that become a wash? Does that become balanced out or evened out with the cost of tariffs that could then result in us having to take all that money that we might be saving and putting it back and trying to pay for higher goods. And that's concerning. That's a legitimate concern.
And if I'm not wrong, for the first time, Governor Newsom put a podcast out there this morning. I didn't listen to all of it, but some part of it, it was mentioned that California is a big importer. And maybe close to, if I'm not wrong, 30-40% of the goods that are coming to the United States, they are imported to California. And at the same time, export to some other places. And the other thing that it was mentioned, actually, I could be wrong because I haven't go through the whole thing, is the damages that we had in Southern California, in Los Angeles area, because of the fire.
Right.
To rebuild that, it's going to cost so much money. And at the same time, the insurance companies. We already have problems with the insurance and increasing rates in the insurance industry. Health insurance, and then it comes to any kind of insurance. You want to buy a home, and one of the concerns that you have is how to insure it nowadays. Because sometimes I have seen some people, they are paying more than $1,000 a month for
yeah.
Just to insure the property.
Right.
What? And I know that everything that you achieve, you have to pay for. You have to go through pain to make it. You cannot get your PhD just walking on the street. You have to go to a library, sit and read and just discuss to get to get your grade. And when you have to fight so hard to find a job. What is your picture? What do you think? How long do we have to wait to see the effect and the consequences of these kind of things that is happening?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you can't get to something without a little pain. And I look at your success. I'm gonna throw a couple bouquets in your direction. You have been a great success, Mo, and you're a great example. And that didn't come just with the snap of a finger. You've spent a lot of hard work, and a lot of your listeners, so many of your small business and families, have worked hard to achieve what they do. And so it doesn't come with the snap of a finger. I think we are looking at things like the fire recovery. We basically have faced a number of challenges there. They're estimating more than $250 billion in damage, more than 12,000 structures that have been destroyed. Sadly, the number of lives lost, 29 is 29 too many. One is one too many. And as we're looking at the insurance market, even before the fires, the insurance market and our fair insurance plan here in our insurance market was on the brink of teetering. And this was, they had said this was just one disaster away from really, bottoming out. And we're finding that's the case. So, I think when the governor is talking about affordability, he's talking about what we need to do and we need to kind of really bolster things, understandably, that is important. I think what we also, though, when the governor is talking about affordability, we also need to be sure that he is mindful of it. He's got an appointed Air Resources Board and Energy Commission that right now, Mo, candidly have been imposing so many stringent regulations and requirements on well-intentioned, positive companies that are still creating great fuel here. As somebody told me, fuel should not be the enemy here. Gasoline and petroleum should not be the enemy. Dirty emissions should be the enemy, right? We should all be mindful of that. But I think there is a mission within his administration to really aggressively kind of go after fuel and energy and existing gas that we sit on top of that can still be used. So when the governor is talking about affordability, he's talking about recovering California and Southern Cal and working with the president, that is important. And to make things work. But he also needs to look within his own administration, because I think the very things that are being done to increase the cost of fuel in California and gas prices, we see it at the pump, is another thing that it's not all in his lap, but I think his administration and the legislature can do quite a bit to make that affordable and not deem that as just the enemy. There's a lot of good fuel and products that small businesses and families rely on that is more affordable at this time than electrifying California. nice intention to make California electrified by the year 2035, which I know he'd like to do. It's an admirable goal, Mo. But we got to be rooted in reality. And also we need to take advantage of resources that are before us that we can do that can actually make, give families hope to like survive.
We don't have that much time left, but the last thing that I want to talk about, if maybe next couple of minutes, retail theft is affecting the small businesses. Last year, it was out of control. It seems that it's getting better. What do you see when you are dealing with small businesses? It's a big concern. A lot of retail stores, they close because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was too bad that the legislature and the governor, frankly, again, tried to politicize retail theft. You know, we had so many problems that were not just affecting the big box stores, but, you know, I think we were seeing it affecting the small businesses, the mom and pops, and the families in neighborhoods. You know, we saw everything from, I think, while there was a lot of talk about this organized crime with like a Macy's or a Saks Fifth Avenue, the more pervasive problem were these shopliftings happening at these little small businesses, right? Little stores where people were stealing little goods here, but every day, two or three times a week. And for a small business owner, that's their life. That's their livelihood. So that was a real problem, as well as porch piracy and people stealing catalytic converters from you and me and people in neighborhoods. So it was affecting all of us. And finally, I think the problem had gotten so bad with retail and residential theft that voters on both sides of the aisle said, enough is enough. Stop creating politics with this. And we were very delighted. We were part of a coalition called Californians Against Retail and Residential Theft, CARRT.org. And basically, that group basically raised enough awareness, talked to enough politicians, and then we helped get Prop 36 passed. And Prop 36 was passed by, listen to this, 68% of the voting public. And they basically said, we need to fix this. So in November of 2024, most voters said, stop. And now, but I think to your point, the most important thing now is while we did say, it did a couple things. It said if you create more than two shopliftings, the third's a felony, we create fentanyl as a hard drug. And most importantly, we give people a pathway through rehabilitation to actually have that case expunged if they follow the court-mandated pathway to rehab. So the bottom line is this. That's great. That's a really good thing. Now we're going to be looking and working diligently with district attorneys locally and their teams to make sure it's enforced. It's got to be enforced. So we're looking forward to it. The voters spoke. We got to fix it. We're seeing crime rates decline. That's awesome. But we got to make sure that district DAs and local public safety is really enforcing it.
Thank you very much for your time. I'm pretty sure we need to invite you more and more to discuss about different issues in California and the small business problem and how to solve it and get some idea from the business owners. We appreciate you. We are running out of time. شنوندگان عزیز، خوشحالم که وقت زمان دیگه در خدمت شما بودم. تشکر و سپاس از پیام هاتون. اگر سوالی در این رابطه داشتید میتونید ما مطرح بکنید. ما از جان کبوتک در برنامه آینده سوال خواهیم کرد و من تا صحبت دیگر و فرصت دیگر همه شما عزیزان رو به خدای بزرگ میسپارم. هر کسی که گفت بهر تو مردم دروغ گفت، من راست گفتم که برای تو زنده‌ام. خدا نگهدار. And thank you.
Thank you.